Father, we thank you for this time and the word together. We thank you for the anointing tonight, Lord. We humbly come before your throne this evening to hear your voice. Father, I don't want these words to be mine. I want them to be yours. I want you to flow through me, Father, as we bring this word forth, that we can all hear your voice, hear the voice of your word, and receive the seed of the word, which will always bring forth life. Father, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity. I thank you for those who choose to come, Lord. They want to know you. And Father, you're busy revealing yourself. You're not hiding. You're busy revealing yourself. If we will only seek. So Father, that's what we're doing tonight. We're seeking your heart. We're seeking to hear you. We're seeking to know you. And in the process, know who we are. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's what this study is all about. What we're doing here in the first few messages of this study, we're building a foundation. You know, Nate fully knows, if you don't have some kind of an idea of how something works, you're in trouble trying to fix it. You know, if you can't just come in the middle of something and have no foundation and expect to be able to use it. Expect to be able to live a quality life. That's why God gave us this manual of life, is so that we know how to live life. And so what we're doing before we get into who we are in Christ and the ways of the Lord and all of that, which we'll be going there, I felt that since this is the beginning of our study, that we need to build a foundation on what this book is. What is it? Because everything's founded on this. And everything is founded on God's Word. And I thought it's in these studies, in the series, basically is the Bible, that we would take the Bible and just fall in love with it, find out what it is and how to use it and why God wrote this book to us. Do we believe that it is the Bible? That's number one. Do we believe that it is His Word? If we don't, we fail before we start. So if we're doing a Bible study, let's start with the foundation of the Bible. So that's what we're doing in these messages. We're looking at what it is, why it's a treasure, and then the various parts related to that. What is the Word? What is it? How does it function? Is it alive? We'll be talking about that. Some of this in the future, we'll be talking about it again in other series. But for right now, we want to know what this is and how it works. So that's why we're doing it. There's a reason behind what we're doing. We're not just hop, skipping, and jumping around. Last week, we got a few scriptures in. And one nice thing I love about a Bible study instead of a church service, and when I'm ministering on a Sunday morning, like I will Sunday, that time frame is so limited. You know, if I was the pastor, I knew I'd be coming back. I could stop and then pick up there and then the next Sunday until you get it done. But when I'm doing Sunday morning, I'm almost always got to rush. And you can't rush the Holy Spirit. And you wind up cutting it off when you shouldn't. But in a Bible study, it don't matter how far you get. You just allow the Holy Spirit to speak. It's His study. You just allow Him to say what He wants to say, and you build on that. And you can come back and pick up the next time there. And that's why I like a Bible study. It took a year and a half to do our study on love at Harvest. 49 messages on love. Praise God.
It was great.
We had close to 40 on the Living Word. And didn't finish it because I wasn't there to do it. But I don't care what you title them. I just want to study the Word. So that's what we're doing. So anyways, last week we studied a few scriptures. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to touch them real quick because they're connected to tonight. Okay. Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is, there is your heart. Well, the idea is we're building the treasure, the Word, in our heart. So we want to recognize the Bible and the Word as a treasure to us. There really isn't anything more important. There's nothing more important than our relationship with God and His Word. Then we read Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's been with me all week because it's a very intense revelation, but it's one that we just jump over. And then we read and studied Proverbs 3, 1 through 10. And we compared the Amplified and the New King James. And what I want to do is just read the Amplified this time. Just read it. And if the Holy Spirit says something to say, I'll say it. But the idea is to read it and just go on to our next one. Because it's important that we tie the two together. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, Amplified Classic. Chapter 3. That's where I'm going today. So that's why
I knew that.
Now, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. You really, if you want to study something awesome, take your time in Proverbs 3 and 4. They're connected, and it's basically, they're so much alike in what they're saying. My son, forget not my law or teaching. Well, that's the word. But let your hearts. Now, that word let is important to us. We mentioned that last week. Let is a condition. Everything else that's built on this, that word let is important. Because if you don't let, that's a choice. If you don't let the word, then the rest of it doesn't work. The rest of it doesn't work. Even though it's there and you want to claim it, if you don't let the word, then it won't work.
It's a choice.
That's a choice that we have to make. That's whenever you see the word if, it's the same thing. If you do this, Jesus said, if my word abides in you, if you live in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. You can't ask what you will and be given unto you unless you abide in him and his word abides in you. That's what that if is there for. So never fly by those words. And that's what it says here. Let your heart keep my commandments. Forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Your heart is what? It's your spirit or your real you. For length of days, this is now after you get through verse 1, he's telling us what will happen if you do that. For length of days and years of life worth living and tranquility inward and outward and continuing through old age till death, these shall they add to you. Let, again, see the word let. Let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood forsake you. In other words, pay attention to mercy. Don't let it depart from you. In other words, that's something you're going to have to be merciful for mercy to function in your life. That's what he's saying. Let not mercy depart from you. You're going to have to be mercy-minded. Mercy-minded. Forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. We talked about that. The neck is the outward natural body or your natural life. The heart is your spirit. So he's telling you to keep it in your natural life and also keep it in your spiritual life. That's what it's the word's supposed to be for you in the natural and in the spiritual. Verse 4, so shall you find favor when you do that. So shall you find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight or judgment of God in man. See, when you keep it about your neck, that's man. That's outward. When you keep it in your spirit, that's God. So you're finding favor with God and man. And verse 5 is very important to you, and it's one that you need to have in your life every day, especially the Amplified Version. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. Again, spirit, mind. Natural thinking. Spiritual thinking. With all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. That's a highly educated professor or somebody like that has a hard time with the word. They have a hard time yielding to it because all their life they've tried to understand things with their mind. They've tried to reason things out. You can't reason the word out. You just believe it. It's not going to make sense. It's on a higher plane. than our natural understanding. That's why he's saying, lean not on your own understanding. Lean on the Word. It's a higher law. It blows natural thinking out of the water. We don't know everything. And especially, you know, a human being like myself, I don't understand rocket science. Mm-hmm. I don't want to understand rocket science, but I can read the Word. I can know more about this than that guy does, simply by spending time in it. So it's important. Don't lean on your own understanding, but lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart or your spirit, man. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. We're back to the light and the lamp again here. But I have to acknowledge Him in all of my ways. I have to do that. That's my choice. If I don't acknowledge Him in all of my ways, then He can't be that light to my path and lamp to my feet and light to my path, because I'm blocking Him. See, I prevent Him from doing what He wants to do. He will honor my free will. If I choose to lean on my own understanding, then I'm going to have to go my own way, and whatever happens is going to happen. But if you lean on Him, you can avoid a lot of that, because He's going to be teaching you and showing you what to do. But if you're going to try to reason it out yourself without the Word, you're going to fail somewhere along the line, because we don't have enough knowledge. We can't get enough knowledge in this life, because the majority of our problems are spiritual problems. They're related to spiritual, to the Spirit, and they're all related to how we handle the Word. Our answer always comes through the Word, whether we believe it or not. Verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. So many of us are. I got this figured out. I can handle that. You know, I'm, after all, look who I am. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship. I talked about fear, about how when you see fearing God, they always bring in worship. The actual word there is a reverential fear. It's not being afraid. It's a reverential fear. Well, here, wherever you find it in the Amplified Bible, because they know that, they're actually defining the actual word used there for fear. So it says right here, be not wise in your own eyes, reverently fear and worship. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. See, if you know you're doing something wrong, that's not right with the Word, and you continue to do that, well, it's not God's fault that He can't get to you, because you're not turning away. We think that I've got to turn away. I've got to make this happen when I turn away. I got to make the decision, and I got to go to the Word for my strength. He will strengthen me to do it. He backs my choice, but He'll also back my choice to stay where I am. He will not pull me out of that. I've got to make a choice. I've got to make a choice to turn. And when I rely on Him to do it, if I'm leaning on my own understanding, chances are I'm doing it all mentally, and I'm forcing my way through it. But if I'm not leaning on my understanding, if I'm leaning on the Word and being strengthened in the Word, when I turn, He strengthens me. He strengthens me. The Holy Spirit within will strengthen me. That's part of His job, is to strengthen me. And so it's important. That's what He's saying here. But also the Word here, it says in verse 8, it will be health to your nerves and sinews, and marrow and moistening to your bones. Honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors, and with the first fruits, not the third or fourth or fifth, with the first fruits of all of your income. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. See, if you don't do verse 9, then verse 8 doesn't work, or verse 10 doesn't work. See, because you're blocking Him from doing what He wants to do. If you do verse 9, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labor, and with the first fruits of all your income, so. The word so follows in verse 10. In other words, if I do this, this works. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. So in other words, he's making provision for you because you're honoring him and you're opening the door for him. You open the door so he can. But see, if you choose not to, he'll back your choice. But he can't work through that. And we'll run to God and want all these things to be done. And we blocked him. And we don't know that we did it. It's not that he needs our money. He wants the door so he can come in and bless us. We rob him of his ability to function in our lives and in our finances. We block him. And we don't know we're doing it. And we can reason it out. But the word's the word. And that's what he's saying here. This ties right into Malachi 3:10 and following. He's telling us that if you open the door for me, this is what I'll do. But many of us have opened the door and stopped right away. Well, the process was never even started. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It don't only apply to this, but the same principle applies to everything else we've read. We block God from his ability to function in and through us because we're so short-term on our decisions. We make a decision, but we don't stand with it. And we've all been guilty of that. And we all can, in the natural, justify not doing what the Word says to do, whatever it might be. Forgiveness is one. I can justify why I'm not going to forgive that person. But in the process, I blocked him from doing anything where I'm concerned. My faith won't work. And I'll get mad at him, but I'm the one that's guilty. I blocked him because I didn't forgive. You see, it's not something I can choose whether or not to do it, but it's conditioned on me doing it. And then like everything else, he backs that. Forgiveness is a faith, is by done by faith, not by feeling. And we need to do that. Now we're going to get into Proverbs chapter 4, which that'll be our study tonight. You'll see how they closely resemble each other. And remember, it's the same author. Not only is it Solomon, but it's the Holy Spirit writing through Solomon. We start in verse 20 of Proverbs 4. And I'll do it like I did last time. I'll read the New King James, and then we'll compare. We'll read a verse, New King James, and we'll compare what the Amplified Classic says when it defines the words in these verses. And again, the New King James is really close to the Amplified Classic. It's very close. Extremely close, as a matter of fact, without the amplifications. So you could almost take these amplifications and stick them in the New King James, and you got basically the same thing. They're real close. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Now, the Amplified Classic says, instead of give attention, it says consent and submit. That's the same thing, isn't it? No, it's not the same thing. Consent and submit is not the same thing. I'll give you an example. It's the way the Lord showed it to me. If you're a slave, the slave owner tells you to do something. You can submit to it, but not consent to it. Consent means you're doing it with all your heart. You're doing it because you want to do it. You're not resisting it. A slave will do it, but he's not consenting to it. He has to submit. Mm. But see, when you consent to something and submit, for instance, a child of God, God wants me to do something, I'll do it, but not as a slave. I do it as a son. There's a difference between Israel were servants. They could not be sons because Jesus never went to the cross yet. So the highest they could get was servants. They could only be a servant until the cross. Then they had to get born again to become a son. Okay? Now, the servant can do the same thing the Son does, but the Son does it with a different motive. Okay, the prodigal son, he submitted to feeding the pigs because he was wrong. He made a wrong choice. But the dad, in his mercy, went ahead and gave him his inheritance. What the son actually said is, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Then I could get my inheritance." That's what he said. "Well, give me my inheritance." He wasn't dead yet. He wasn't entitled to his inheritance. But the father, representing the father, went ahead and gave him his inheritance. And he squandered it all. His choice. His choice. Not the father's. His choice. But then he comes back and he says, "I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my father's house. Even the servants have food there. I'll just be a servant in my father's house." So he went back. But what happened? The father didn't put him back as a servant. He put him back as a son. Put a coat on, a robe on him, a ring on his finger. And he was elevated from servant back to a son, and that was another inheritance. The father did okay because he gave all of his substance to his sons. And when the son comes back, he's got more. See? But that's a good example, because the servants, while they were well treated, they were servants. They would submit, and some would even consent, but not on the level of a son. Now a son will consent and submit. And that's the difference in this scripture here. It's vital that we understand the difference between the two. So, my son, give attention, or pay attention, or how's the King James say it there? What's the
word?
Attend. That's the same thing as give attention. Attend to something. John, go attend to this thing, or take care of it. Attend to this word now. Pay attention to it. That's what it's talking about. Give attention. The Amplified says, consent and submit to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Verse 21 says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Basically the same. It's Amplified's a little different there, but it's close enough to leave it alone. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Notice what it said in verse 3. It says, chapter 3, verse 3, it said, let not mercy. Let not. Don't let mercy. Don't let mercy forsake you. Here it says, let not, do not let them, the words, his word, depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Notice the difference again between the two. Eyes is natural. Heart is where? It's the spirit again. He's saying to keep these words before your eyes. Look at them. Pay attention to them. Keep them in front of you. And in your heart. It's got to move from your mind, mental understanding, to heart understanding. And there's a big difference between the two. Okay, so we got to work at that. If it's saying let not, in other words, he wouldn't say let not if I didn't have to work at this. If I don't work at it, then I'm going to let it depart. I let it depart because I didn't work at it. But if I let not, it means I'm dealing with it. I'm working with it. Okay, verse 22. The reason I want to keep them before my eyes and keep them in my heart is verse 22. For they, the words, are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The Amplified says, in place of health, it says healing and health. Now, I can be healed. The word brings healing. But once the healing comes, I want to stay healthy. So I don't need healing anymore. You see the difference? The New King James is accurate when it says, for they are health. But before you can get health, you got to be healed. That's why the Amplified puts it that way. For these words will not only provide health for you, but they bring healing so you can walk in health. But see, again, it's what I do with it. If I don't let the word, if I don't keep it before my eyes and in my heart, then it can't bring me health and healing. See, we want to be healed, and that's it. Healing is a process. There's a miracle of healing, but the majority of healing comes as a process. And you have to receive your healing and keep the word. Keep the word. Keep it before your eyes and in your heart. Let it become part of you. Keep it in your mouth, confessing it. Every time Mr. Doubt comes up, oh, I feel that pain again. The pain's there, yes, but the word says. You're not denying that it's there. You're denying its right to be there. Because, see, you're a child of God. You're walking on a higher level. You have right to be healed because Jesus paid for it. Does that make sense? Healing, as I said earlier a couple of weeks ago, healing is a fact, not a promise. If I receive that fact, then like medicine, that word will bring that fact to manifestation, but it's a process. If I keep doubting it, I keep turning it off. I keep rejecting it. See, I got to fight doubt. Where do I fight doubt at? In my mind. I fight it with the word. And that's why we're addressing the word the way we are, the Bible the way we are. See, if I know that the Bible is God's word, that it's absolute truth, that it cannot lie, and God cannot lie. If it's His word, then it's truth. If I know that, then I can take that word and battle doubt with it.
Amen.
But if I don't have that knowledge of the word, if I don't have a relationship with it, then all I am is talking. There's nothing in me that really believes it. See, the condition is I got to believe it. And what Satan has to do is to move me away from my believing it. That's why he tries to bring doubt. What if? All that can't work. Science says that don't work. And go with the word. Go with the word. It's a higher law. Now the other law works. It's the law of sin and death. It's out there. And if I'm not in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I'm automatically in the law of sin and death. That's why I got to believe. I got to move from the law of sin and death into the law of life in Christ Jesus. And I can only do that by faith. I've got to trust this word. If I believe the word, he can't take it from me.
Right.
See, he can't do anything. Satan cannot do anything with the word. He's got to get you to release it. And that's why doubt comes. If you don't fight doubt, it's going to work in your life. Eventually, you'll give in to it. And you'll wind up right back where you were, maybe worse. Because you're not taking the word for what it is. That's why Satan cannot do anything where the word's concerned. He's got to get you to do it for him. He can't do it any other way. You know, it's what the Bible says. And it's truth. And if I don't believe it, then it's not going to work. So I'll wind up in the ditch and blame God for it. Or that stuff don't work. Well, it doesn't work where you're concerned because you're not using it. You're locked in the law of sin and death. You're not moving up here where God's placed us. That's what those stripes were for. That's what that blood was for, that cross was for. He purchased it so we could, but he's not going to make us walk in it. He's not going to make us open this Bible. He's not going to make us believe it. I have to do that. I have to make a choice. So that's how you fight the devil. That's how you fight symptoms. That's how you fight sickness, disease, fear, depression. You fight depression with the word.
Amen.
You fight it with the word. So am I making sense with that?
Yeah.
That there has to be a place in our lives where we choose the word. See, I can read this and say, well, I know it says that, but you're in trouble. When you brought the but in, the but means I don't believe that. This over here says that I got this. But the word says you're healed. And as long as you're butting it, you're going to keep what you got. And hopefully the doctor can do something for you. But if he can't, you're in big trouble. You'll pray to God, God, please take this away. Then you'll talk the rest of the week about how bad it is.
I was always taught that with anything, and it sounds odd, but an apology or anything, the moment the word but is involved, you negate everything.
You just
erased
project.
It. You erased it. You know?
I love you, but.
Don't ever let Satan put that word in your mouth when you're dealing with the word. Take the word for what the word says.
That's why we got but God.
I like that but.
Yeah.
In Ephesians chapter 2.
All that bad but stuff,
God.
But God. He fixed it.
You know, we were here. But God. Now we're in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That kind of a but is okay. There's something changed. That's what but means. There's a transition here. So, but we fly, that's another word we fly by. And we need to watch the buts in the Bible. But don't use them ourselves when we're trying to justify what we're doing. Don't justify what you're doing. If it's sin, it's sin. Yeah, but I was raised that way. But you don't understand. That's just the way, that's the way I am. No, you're not. My mom was super world mad. They had a bad, honestly, I'm telling you, she knows it. There was a badge of honor when you got mad at somebody and told them off. And she would come home bragging on how mad she got and how much to give them a piece of her mind. That's not God. That's not honor. That's not. It's not an honorable thing to get mad. But she felt it was. She was raised that way in her family. She told a story about her dad walked a mile just to knock a guy out one time. And I was raised that way. But God.
Amen.
But God. I found mercy. I found grace. You know, praise God. I mean, but I had to act on that. We're not born that way. We become that way. Whatever we're going through, if you're raised in anger and fear, if you're a person that's afraid all the time, say, well, my whole family's got that. Just runs in my family. It doesn't have to. You got born again. You got a new family. You moved from death to life. You were a child of Satan. Now you're a child of God. You know, behold, all things have become new. Your lineage, your gene pool was changed. You know, and so we have to see ourselves through the Word. So verse 23 there, I started already, but let's go back to 23. Keep, now what's that mean? Keep is an action word, isn't it? I can't just sit, read that word keep and go on down the road. I got to know what keep is there for. Keep what? Keep the house? What's that mean? It means clean it up. it means keep your heart. It doesn't say keep your brain, does it? It says keep your heart. Keep your heart with what? All diligence. For out of it springs the issues of life. See why you keep your heart or your spirit man? Because your life flows from there. Your life flows from your spirit man, not from your body. That's why the word brings healing. Healing flows from the inside out. As a matter of fact, in reality, everything God does for us comes from the inside. It comes from the spirit inside. That's why he put the spirit in us. If you're born again, you're wall-to-wall Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And if you're asking God out there to come, he already has. See, you're walking around with your answer inside you. and you're looking up there. Well, God is there, but he's also here.
Amen.
He's as close as he can possibly come. He's one with my spirit man. And anytime I'm asking him for something, my inside man's involved. I'm strengthened from my inner man, not from my outer man. And that's what he's saying here. That's why I keep my heart. For out of it springs the issues of life. That's the New King James. The Amplified says it this way, and I like it much better. It says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard. Now, isn't that different than just keep? Keep your heart with all diligence. That's good. But when you say, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard. You know, we're supposed to be 24/7, 365 and a quarter guarding our heart. How do we do that? We guard it with the Word. If anything does not line up with the Word, I don't want it in me.
The New International.
Yes.
Actually, it kind of goes in between both of those, the way it says it. But it brings about both points. It reads, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life.
That's basically the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the same thing. Above all else. Well, with all vigilance and above all that you guard. Why would you guard it? Because it's a treasure. The treasure of your life is in your heart. Now, everyone has something in their hearts. Everyone does. But some hearts, it's a storehouse. It's a storehouse of junk and trash, and you don't guard that. Well, some people may. But it's, I don't know what you're guarding it for if it's full of that. But if you're guarding it with all vigilance, it's because it holds something that is of great value. That's why we're studying this, because this should be that kind of value to us, that we treasure it. And it does, it's not going to do very much right here on this table. But when I keep it before my eyes and I put it in my heart because I'm studying it, I'm listening to it, I'm adjusting my life accordingly. Now it's a treasure. But again, what Satan has to do, he has to get that treasure out of there. And he can't do it without you taking it out. You have to release it. And you do it with your words. You do it with your actions. All kinds of ways you do it. You do it by not guarding your heart. See, if you're not guarding your heart, if you're not feeding your spirit with the Word, then it leaks out, so to speak, or it gets weaker. Your spirit man gets weaker because you're not eating. You're not feeding your spirit man the Word. That's what he needs. He needs your faith. He needs your diligence. It's your spirit. And it's yours. You can do what you want to with it. If you don't want it to work, it's not going to. If you spend more time with your brain than you do your spirit, guess what's running your life? I don't want my brain running my life. I proved that a long time ago. I want the spirit. I'm a spirit. I have a soul, my mind, emotions, and will, and I live in a body. I'm a tripart being, so are you. The spirit is the real me. If I'm allowing my soul to dominate and to work, then my spirit hasn't got much to say. There's no life coming forth. And I'm going to fail. But if I put the spirit man in his proper place, it's supposed to tell my mind what to do, and my mind, my body. The body's a responder. The mind was never meant to be in charge. And it can't be. We're not supposed to be emotionally ruled.
What's the mind supposed to do?
What's that?
What's the mind supposed to do?
The mind, emotions, and will, that's our soul. Our mind is kind of like a computer bank, a hard drive. so to speak.
Well, it's your intellect and what you've learned in life, yes, and your experiences and everything.
That's all recorded there. You know,
and you use that information.
Yeah.
But you've got to look at the spiritual aspect of what's going on, you know, because a lot of people, well, you've seen that teaching that I did with the spirit, soul, and body. Okay. Well, on that particular thing, your mind is on one side because it's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And if you put that on top of the one where it says spirit, soul, and body, that's where your mind is connected to your spirit. We have to have the spirits, we have to live in the spirit. You know, they said to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace.
That's so putting it word
everything that we get from our mind, we have to filter that through the word, which is where we get the spirit's input on whatever it is that we're saying.
Yeah, it's so important that we understand that who we are, what we are, because, well, it's vital. That's why this word is the only thing that can feed our spirit. It's the knowledge bank for how we're to live. Mm-hmm. And if we're not feeding it, then our brain is doing the work.
Yeah.
And it can't.
Get messed
it
up
it cannot do it. It does not have the ability to do it. It was never meant to do that. Our mind, emotions, and will are supposed to be subservient to the spirit. Our emotions are supposed to be that way. If we're emotionally driven, we cannot be spiritually minded. Mm-hmm. Our emotions are God-given, but they're supposed to communicate with the spirit what's going on. It's like a radar or sonar. That's what our emotions are. They just tell us what's going on. They don't make any decisions. They just sense what's going on in the natural. But our spiritual man also has senses. So when we communicate, when it's supposed to be set up, the emotions that I see and my mind sees is supposed to communicate instantly to the spirit man to decide what to do. When that happens, the spirit man communicates with the Holy Spirit because we're one. And the Holy Spirit tells my spirit man what to do. The spirit man communicates to my mind, and then it uses whatever those emotions are telling that it makes a decision based on those. But if you shortcut that path to the spirit, it goes to the mind, and the mind says what to do. It has nothing to work with but what those emotions are saying. That's why you fail. You wind up in depression, fear, worry, anger. All of these things functioning, and they're not supposed to. You're not supposed to live that way. You're supposed to be spiritually minded. If the Word is in its place, if the Holy Spirit is you're honoring Him and you're letting Him do His job, then those emotions will be fine-tuned to tell what the Spirit sees and how it sees it. It'll be a whole different viewpoint. And then you'll know how to respond. Your emotions are still working, but they're working now with proper guidance. They're in their place. And what used to put you in fear, worry, and depression will no longer do that. You'll see it through the eyes of the Spirit, and all that happens instantly.
Yeah.
But you have to feed your spirit man. You've got to give him his place. You've got to filter your life through the Word. God's got to be first. He's got to be first in everything. He's first. I mean, he is first. It all flows from him. And the word is, you get into Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, it's very pointed. All things are upheld by him. All things are made by him. All things come from him. All things. That includes science. You know, and I'm not knocking science. I'm saying, you cannot understand this unless you got God in his right place. Intellect, a lot of times, will prevent you. It'll keep you from knowing him. It'll put you in a place where even though you mean well, even though you know things, what you know is fragmented because of the God principle. It will never, ever be right without the God principle in it, because it flows from Him. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard. So, in other words, this has got to be your number one priority. If it's not your number one priority, guess where your problem is?
Up here.
That's right where it is. It's because He's not first. And that's why we're building a foundation of what the Bible is first, before we get into the other studies. Verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips, put far from you. Why? Because that's another block. You have what you say, whether you think you do or not. The common way they say it is, well, I don't have what I say. Well, you just did. You just got what you said. It doesn't work for you, because you said it's not working. It's not going to work for your concern. You're saying it won't. Why did Jesus say, speak to the mountain? What are you supposed to speak? You speak the word. And it will obey. It obeys what? Not you. It obeys the word. So, and this is normal Christianity. It's not hyper faith. It's normal, everyday Christianity to believe the word. That's normal. Now, the Amplified says there, New King James says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips, but far from you. Amplified says, put away from you false and dishonest speech and willful and contrary talk. What's false?
That's a lie.
It's a lie. And dishonest speech, that's a lie. Willful and contrary talk. Will, if I will to do something, if I decide to say something, I said it because I wanted to. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't mean to cuss him out. Yes, you did. That's what was in your heart. That's why it came out. You need a heart cleanse. How do you cleanse your heart? With the word.
Amen. Wash it with the word.
And see, I can use this scripture right here to put a block on my mouth. I can do that. If I say something wrong, I can say, the word says, put that away from me. So in Jesus' name, I put it away from me. Because why? Because your faith is involved. Your faith is vital, and it only functions on what you say. So if you speak fear, you're activating fear with your mouth. If you speak faith in the word, now you're activating the word. Literally, you're going to have what you say. So that's why he's saying, put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips, but far from you. Verse 25, I've only got two more here. So the very first word is what?
Let.
So we already talked about that. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. The Amplified says, let your eyes look straight ahead with fixed purpose. Fixed purpose. In other words, I'm doing this on purpose. I'm looking right there. Let your eyelids look straight ahead. What's it saying? Go God's way. That lamp to your feet, light to your path. Follow the light. Keep your eyes on the word. Keep your eyes on the path with fixed purpose. Now, if it's a fixed purpose, it means you're not going to be able to pull me off of it. Mm-hmm. Satan's trying to pull you away. Well, if I'm looking ahead with fixed purpose, he can't pull me away. Because I'll keep going back to the word again. Keep going back to the word again. Keep going back to the word again. I may drift, but I'm going to come right back to the word. The word's my anchor. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet and let all of your ways be established. That sounds like the same thing. Talk about the way, you're talking about a path, but they're not the same. Not in the way this is written. Ponder means what? To consider well. That's what the Amplified says. Instead of ponder, it says consider well. Ponder. Think about it. Consider it. Where is this path going? Where is it leading me? This decision I'm making. What's going to happen if I make it? What's the pros and cons? Where is this going to lead me? Is it spiritually minded or carnally minded? Is it mercy, love, faith, or is it fear, worry, and anger? Who's it going to bless? Is it self-centered, me, myself, and I, or is it other-centered? When you ponder the path of your feet, that's what you're doing. You're considering it. You're taking these things into consideration. You're not just walking it. You're not just busy walking the path. You're considering what you're doing with where you're going. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said the path and the ways are not the same in this context. They're not. Let your ways be established. We're going to be talking in the future. Maybe our next series will be on the ways of the Lord or His character. Why He does things. When it says let your ways, it's talking about your character, your way of behaving, what you do and why you do it. What makes Georgie Georgie? Why does Georgie do things? This is the way she is. She likes coffee, so her way is coffee. You know, for an example, I like coffee. But it could be some of our ways are not good. Some of our ways are. My ways may be to be merciful as I walk through my life because I've practiced mercy. I've been in the Word. I may be merciful as my way of life. That's why goodness and mercy follows, because I was there with mercy. I responded in mercy. Or I may be a person that walks in anger. My way would be anger. I fly off the handle, just drop of a hat, and throw down a hat to get mad. You know, so it's just my ways. Well, that's just my way.
I know. You know, when you're going to get your head beat off.
That's the kind of way that we're talking about here. He's talking about pondering the effects of your path, where you're going, and bring your ways into that. Our ways are supposed to be the ways of the Lord. His ways are supposed to be our ways, not our ways His. But we'll be studying His ways. I think I got 23 or 24 I found, and there's many more, that the Bible specifically says this is His character. If I know His character, then I know how He's going to respond. Okay? I know one of those characteristics is love. So my way is supposed to be love. So as I ponder my feet, the path of my feet, as I'm looking at it, taking it apart, looking at how it's going to affect things, my ways should be brought into that. 26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. I'm established in love, so when I ponder my path, I'm going to look at it through the eyes of love. If my ways are anger, then I'm going to look at how everything's going to affect me. I'm going to get mad about it. If I'm self-centered, when I ponder my path, I'm going to be thinking of how it affects me only. But if I'm walking in love, I'm other-centered more than I am self. So as I ponder my path and my feet, I'm going to be looking at how it's going to affect other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference, and that's what that verse is talking about. Ponder or consider well the path of your feet, or where you're going, what you're doing, what's happening here. To ponder the path of your feet and let all of your ways be established. If I'm walking in anger, fear, and worry, and depression in the world's way, and self-centered, my ways can't be established. But if I'm walking the love walk and making others first, then I can make that established. Okay, last one is, do not turn to the right or to the left, remove your foot from evil. The evil is what God's idea of evil is. Unbelief is evil. Mm-hmm. A lack of faith is evil. Fear, worry is evil as far as God is concerned. Because God is faith and love, and he gave us a book to walk in the Word and give us a manual, and he put himself in us so we can walk in love. Anything other than that, he considers evil. Now, not talking about killing people there, although that's involved. If I fly off the handle, that's evil. That's evil. It's evil communication. And I need to do something about it. And we can, if we use the Word as our anchor and as our sword. We can lock things up. We can lock things up with the Word. We can bind Satan and all of his works with the Word. We can keep him from moving us away. But not if we don't use the Word. Am I making sense?
Amen.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to get further than that, but that's okay. Father, we thank you for the Word that we've received tonight. We thank you for the opportunity we've had. It's been rich, Lord. And
thank you.
You've encouraged me, Lord. I appreciate what you said in my heart tonight. And I appreciate it, Father. I set my mind and heart on you. And I thank you, Father, for the seed of the Word that's went out in all of us that are gathered here, that we can see through your eyes and be able to keep our hearts. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Good work.
Amen.